Nightman, written by Brett Battles and read by Zach Villa.
1. Here they come. They're in a gray Honda Accord. It's not the same car they used last time, but it's the kind of vehicle they favor. Ubiquitous, bland, and very blend into the scenery-esque. I'm watching it on the feed from the camera I've set up to cover the street. I've been waiting for over 2 hours in case they showed up early. They haven't. Like clockwork, they're right on time. I click the button on my laptop that shrinks the feed into one of 4 squares. In the other 3 squares are views from my other cameras. One inside the store, one outside covering the store front, and one focused on the back alley. On the inside view, I can see the owner, Mr. Park, sitting on his stool and ringing up a customer while keeping one eye on his TV. I'm not familiar with Korean TV shows, so I don't know what he's watching. Appears to be some kind of period drama. There are 2 other customers. A pair of teenage girls hunting for drinks in the coolers at the back. I will them to hurry up. Not that I'm expecting problems, but the fewer people around, the better. As expected, the Accord turns into the alley. It's taken me nearly 2 weeks to figure out their pattern. Thought I had it worked out twice before, but both times they failed to show up. After going back over everything I knew, I realized where I'd made my mistakes. Their arrival today is the validation of that correction. As the vehicle slows, my gaze moves to the feed showing the front of the store. The camera is across the street, giving me a wide shot that spans several units on either side of Park's Minimart. Entering the frame on the right is the guy I've come to call Waste of Life Number 1. He's Caucasian, skinny, about 5'7", with close-cropped brown hair and ears that lie flat against his head. Today he's dressed in slacks, a dress shirt, and a jacket. No tie, but he doesn't need it. The outfit is enough to make him appear disarming. Wall 1 walks down the sidewalk, talking on his phone. I don't need a camera inside the Accord to know he's speaking with someone in the vehicle. His expression is jovial, as if he's talking to a friend about plans for the evening. He pauses before he reaches the mini-mart, like the conversation needs his full attention. On the alley cam, the Accord stops behind Mr. Park's place. 3 wall passengers get out. Only the driver remains inside. Today, they're wearing clown masks, which seems fitting. If everything were to play out like the gang's previous jobs, Wall 1 would enter the mini-mart, sneak into the back to unlock the rear door, then return to the front and nonchalantly shove a rubber doorstop under the front door to keep it from opening. At about the same time as this last bit, his buddies would slip in through the back entrance. After that, he and his asshole friends would take all the money from Mr. Park's cash register and make him open the safe. Though they don't know it, things are going to play out a little differently today. I check inside the store. The 2 girls are still trying to decide what they want, which means they won't be leaving in time, and I will need to be extra careful. I close my computer and open the door. I've been hiding inside an empty store 2 units away from the mini-mart. It's a considerably more pleasant stakeout location than the dumpster I used on one of my failed attempts. When I step into the alley, I'm about a car's length behind the Accord, right in the sight line of the trio moving toward Mr. Park's door. "Afternoon," I say, as I move my hands behind my back. "Nice masks." I'm wearing one too, only mine's a black ski mask with holes for my eyes and mouth. This confuses them. One of them starts to say something, but before he can get a whole word out, I whip my hands in front of me and pull the triggers of the 2 taser guns I'm holding. Sets of wires fly, hitting 2 of 3 men and dropping them to the ground, where they writhe like frying bacon.